Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickies in South Philly. Cyber Monday Chickies deal. Chickies double bonus days. You get two $10 bonus cards for every $50 you spend on gift cards at Chickies and Pete's. Donovan McNabb will join us in moments. That call will be brought to you by United Tire. Now is the time to make the right choice about who services your car. United Tire and Service. Go to unitedtire.com. Don't drive alone. Drive United. 215-592-9494. Nolan Boston. You're on WIP. What's up, Noel?
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's been a while. How you doing?
We're doing up, great, man? Noel.
Hello?
Oh, yeah, we got you.
Here we go.
Here I am.
Okay.
Okay, so Bear with me here. So just a couple of quick points. And I wanted to start just by asking the question of Ike. No disrespect to you, Jack. And
I got it. Yeah, we get it. He played the game. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, actually, Noel.
See you, Noel.
Yeah, no. We got to talk to Donovan.
He also played the game.
Yeah, he also played the game. So, Donovan, I'm going to be honest with you. I normally do this big intro for you, but we are so down today that me hitting that level feels disingenuous. So I want to tell you, you're a great player. You're a great guest. I have tremendous respect for you, but I cannot do that intro today because we're all too mad. We're just too mad.
No, we're past that. Okay, good. All right.
So
you didn't have to keep doing it every week anyway.
I like topping myself. I thought I was having a lot of fun, but today doesn't feel like a fun day, you know? So,
Understandable.
So let me ask you this. You watched that game on Friday. Does that look like a team that gave up against Chicago Bears? They got muscled on both sides of the football. Like, when you're watching them get beat like that at home against a team that they were a 7-point favorite against, is that something you think about, that they're sort of letting go of the rope?
No. Not at all. What I'm seeing is a team that's totally confused and have no identity on both sides of the football. When I look at offensively, obviously, because we focus so much on it and, you know, all of the communication coming out, if it's social media-wise, if it's obviously the talk of the town for the week or, you know, whatever it may be, it just seems like the makeshift of offensive plays now have become, you know, to target more of A.J. Brown and not really running your offense. I've always said that the number one receiver that they have is Devontae Smith. And the splash player is A.J. Brown. And so if you can't run the football, your play-action game is null and void. So now we just revert to a drop-back game. And so we have no – I would say the quick game is – it just isn't there consistently. We're not running the screen game. Dallas Goedert is non-existent in our passing game. And if you're doing that and you're constantly trying to throw the ball outside, you become predictable. Mm-hmm. And so that's from an offensive standpoint. That's not even talking about our offensive line just not being consistent and not being able to open up holes in the running game. Now, defensively, it's going to be a time where it came to a head where teams find out where our weakness is, and our weakness is being able to stop the run. And we've got Jordan Davis and obviously Jalen Carter in the middle, but What do you do to neutralize Jalen Carter from being a dominant pass rusher? Now you put two sets of hands on him. You push him back 3-4 yards and now get to the linebacker. And if you have a good running game, now that puts pressure on our linebackers. And so now with that said, I mean, Caleb Williams didn't play well at all. All Ben Johnson decided to do was just run the football at him and get Caleb Williams outside the pocket. And so you got a young quarterback learning a new offense. And so the best thing to do versus a team that likes to pass rush is to get him outside the pocket where now it's a dual threat. You got to either figure it out if you're going to drop back in coverage or you're going to stop him from running. And so, what I seen was from a football team that just trying to figure themselves out. And at this particular point of the season, you should not be trying to figure yourself out. You should be trying to hone in on your strength and getting ready to propel your game for the playoffs.
So that's kind of where I'm at. I'm, you know, for a while there, about a month ago, I still was under the belief and hope that they were working towards building that identity and establishing that, and eventually that would come and it would lead us into the playoffs. Now I'm at the point after this past Friday's game, I'm like, man, this is who we are. I don't know if it's going to change. Now I'm questioning, Fav, whether or not it's going to be good enough to actually do what we want to do to get into the postseason and make a long run. Because ultimately that's what this is going to boil down to, is what is going to be the end game for this team this year? How far can they go? And I'm not feeling it right. I'm not feeling it right now. And I was still hanging in there until Friday. Friday did something to me where it just shook my confidence as far as what we can ultimately be. So I say that to say, when you look at this team, do you feel like this is a Super Bowl contending team?
I say yes and no. I say yes because I think we have the same pieces that could get us to where we want to be. And you know how it goes. Like, all you need is a little bit of help here and there to be able to propel yourself into that position. So as of right now, the way they've been playing, and they can kind of make shift it so that now they get that bye week. And now we're talking about, two games that you have to win. And it hasn't been pretty, and it's been pretty much ugly from our standpoint, but they're still finding ways to win besides, obviously, the last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And so I think this is a Super Bowl team. Now, what does that look like if they do make it? You know, will somebody have to pull a rabbit out of the hat or all of a sudden put their Superman cape on for us to win? I believe so, yes, because there's no consistency with our football team, to be honest with you. There's no consistency. And so I look across the league and teams are now starting to move forward, and that being a lot of the NFC teams, where the NFC teams, it's going to be tough, you know, getting into the playoffs and playing well. I mean, the Rams hit a little bump in the road against Carolina this past weekend, but they didn't play terrible.
No.
You know,
I still put up 28 points.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they threw two picks. Stafford threw two picks.
Right.
He also completed about over almost 70% of his balls and had two touchdowns. So I just think for where the NFC is at this particular point, we find ourselves way behind teams like Seattle and, the Rams and, you know, some of the NFC West teams and some of the NFC South teams. I mean, like, come on now. What are we really doing offensively? Because it's embarrassing.
So, Donovan, I just want to dig in a little more on the identity thing, because I think we all agree with you. The question I would have is, and this is sort of related to what Ike said, is that if the offensive line isn't able to get push and run the ball, and we know the quarterback has never thrown the ball well over the middle, those quick hitter things, he just has never done that.
Right.
Are you saying that there is an answer for their identity or their performance this year? It's just they're never going to get there. Like, I'm sort of at the point where if you don't do anything particularly well, I don't know what your identity can be. And the identity under this head coach has always been run the ball well. So is there an answer there, or are they just sort of stuck with this the rest of the year?
I would love to say that there's an answer there, but we're kind of late in the year to be trying to find answers.
Right.
Because at this particular point, I think they've overly exerted answers, where now it became from a guy who was complaining, talking about our offense, we're putting Band-Aids over over the problems. He hasn't said anything since he's been getting the ball. And so, I mean, did we pull the Band-Aid off? Is he pleased? What was it about the offense, or was it more about the individual? Like, and so my thing is, I've always said that what we have, and I know that our offensive line isn't the same as last year, but we've still got somewhat of the same pieces besides Lane being hurt. I believe that it's about more of our running attack attempts and being able to utilize the middle of the football field. Now, we don't attack the middle of the football field the way we're supposed to when teams are playing us two-man with two high safeties, and they're not really playing a single high safety man. They're playing two high safeties. So in two high safeties, that means a middle linebacker or an outside linebacker is covering your tight end or your slot if they happen to bring a nickel in. And then who's covering your running back? Like, there's ways of being able to utilize the weapons that you have with running crossing routes and running dig routes and running dagger routes, not just comeback, stops on the outside, slant and go, out and up. Like, we got to be able to utilize the middle of the football field, and that's when your tight ends and your running backs have to play a major part in your passing game.
How do you think Jalen is playing?
I think he's playing. I mean, I have a high bar just like he has a high bar. I would think he's probably playing above average. I mean, he's not turning the football over like that. That which is a positive thing. He keeps
well until Friday. Friday, twice.
Well, I mean, if you look at him statistically overall,
yes, yep.
But it's not an attack downfield, and everything seems to be 12 or 15 and under. And so there's no explosive plays. And I'm going to tell you this, to be honest with you. I know everybody's coming down on Kevin Patua. Listen, it's easy to point the finger at the offensive coordinator to play calls. But I think it's a little bit more than just the plays that he's not calling. I think some of the plays that he wants to call, he can't call it with this group.
Well, why do you think that is?
Trust it. And I don't think he fully trusted with this group that we have.
So,
I mean, you see it the same way?
No, listen. It's hard for me to tell which is which. Like, I'm with you there. Is it he can't call a full offense because
right. He
doesn't necessarily trust the personnel, or is the personnel not executing the offense that he's calling?
I think it's a little bit of both, to be honest with you, because think about this. In the first four games last year, we almost had this same feeling about Kellen Moore. And I said, he needs to figure out an identity. Are you going to be a run-first football team and play action, or are you going to throw first and then run? Because his resume says that he's more of a pass-first kind of play caller.
Mm-hmm.
And when he came to Philadelphia, it just so happens that he had Saquon fall in his lap, an offensive line that didn't battle as much injury. And so now, when you bring in a Saquon, that wasn't something overall, I think, is in the building that decision was made. I think that was more of a Howie deal. He went out and got him, and now it's like, what are we going to do with him, with what we already have? Mm. You know, because Miles Sanders was a 1,000-yard rusher. Swift was a 1,000-yard rusher, but we let them both go.
Yeah.
So is it going to be business as usual, or now do we change this offense to cater around Saquon? Because Saquon isn't just just another name. That's a big name.
Mm-hmm.
Former first round pick, early pick, first running back taken so high in a long time, and now you got to utilize it. So we shifted it after, I think, week four, week five. I don't think Kevin could do that because we can't block. We ain't open up holes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, Donovan. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Dramatic pause.
No. I mean, y'all got me fired up now.
Fired up, man. Fired up, man.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller. the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well,
I know everybody's upset in Philly. And,
yes.
And they listen to what we say on the show. They try to act like they don't like to hear what I say, but they listen every week. And I appreciate them listening because I'm just trying to tell you what everybody's thinking, but I'm going to be the one to say it.
Yep, say it with your chest.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Just be real.
And happy belated birthday, too.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Happy birthday.
Well, thank you, brother. You know,
wait a minute. Is it the big 5-0?
But, you know,
no, not
you'll
yet.
Never say when it's my birthday. But okay. I ain't going to say that.
Okay. Not yet? What is he? It's four, then it has to be 4-9. Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right.
Would you say that nobody in the organization didn't put out a tweet? Up,
but you know, it's okay.
You crazy. I ain't wish him a happy birthday last week.
Unreal.
Hey, you know,
I'm
okay.
Unfollowing him. I am unfollowing him on all social media platforms.
Right. Probably everybody has, but that's yeah, okay. Yeah.
All right, Donovan, thank you again, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, broski.
Hey, everybody, just say keep yourself on the bridge. Don't jump. It's okay. It's going to clean up.
If we jump off the bridge, we can't complain. There's no jumping. Don't worry about it.
Well, right. You won't be able to see what the end effect is either. So,
yeah.
You know.
All right, Donovan.
All right, bro.
All right.
Yes, sir.
There he is, Donovan McNabb. So here is, we were mentioning that Nick was asked about the play caller thing during his press conference. Here is the tail end of his answer because it was a follow-up question. Here is the tail end of his answer. He was answering Ruben Frank, and then there's a follow-up.
We got to call it better. It's every area that we need to improve on. That's why we always say we look internally through all these things. And like I said to you guys, like, if all that's not gelling, that to me, that's on me first. And it's my job to do whatever I need to do to help get it fixed. And that's what we're working on right now.
So just to clarify, Nick, Kevin still is the play caller?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. There was less of a pause when I heard
it. Yeah, but it was still, it sounded downtrodden.
It wasn't emphatic.
No. I think there was a change.
You think there was a change?
Yeah, I do.
There was no change.
Dude.
I don't think so.
He's hiding something. I'm on to Nick. He's hiding something.
That's his guy.
Yeah.
Well, who'd it change to?
Maybe it's him. Maybe it's Scott Loeffler, whatever the heck his name is.
Loeffler, I think. Right?
The Bowling Green coach. Our new hero.
See, I'll keep saying, I don't know if Kevin Petrullo is a good offensive coordinator. I have no idea. What I do know is, I can look at this and say to myself, what the hell is anyone else going to do? Especially of the people in the building. So you talk about Nick being the play caller. Well, mm-hmm. Nick is probably more intently involved in the offense this year than he has been.
For sure.
For years.
Yeah, for sure.
For years. Because,
well, he was basically shut out last year.
Yeah, because it's Petrullo's his guy.
Yep.
So we know Nick doing it. I just... And the quarterback's coach, who the hell knows? And they're not going to bring on somebody externally. So I just say to myself, the offensive line can't block. Saquon is or isn't the same guy he was. The quarterback doesn't want to run and won't throw the ball over the middle of the field with quick hits. So I don't know. I know people just want blood, right? This is bad. You got to fire somebody. But if you're Nick Sirianni, and you're the Eagles organization, mm-hmm. and you believe in Kevin Petrullo and his future,
if you cut his legs out from him this year, his future with the organization is probably moot. Like, I don't know that you can take play calling away from him and then make him offensive coordinator and the play caller again next year after what has happened, because there will be blood in the water. If Nick Sirianni genuinely believes, and he is able to make the case to Howie that genuinely this is not a Petullo issue, then just changing for the sake of changing for a guy that you probably don't want to fire and a guy that you probably believe in does more harm than good.
Yeah, which is why he's not going to do that. You know, that's his hand-picked guy. And, you know, for better or worse, they're going to ride it out this year. Listen, depending on how this thing ends and they reassess the situation, I think it's more of a change from up top, meaning that it's a demand or a command from up top than it is Nick saying, I'm getting rid of my guy.
I think so too.
He may be told that's what he has to do.
Sure.
But that, I think that comes from up top. Well, I think Nick is a loyal guy. Again, this is his hand-picked guy. For better or worse, you ride it out with him this year, and they know if it's truly him that the issue or it's the signal caller, which is sure. The quarterback. The quarterback is the signal caller. So is it if it's him and they believe that they can run the offense, he's having problems running the offense, then bringing in another coordinator doesn't change anything.
To anyone who is talking about the simplicity of the offense, nobody ever asked the question. All these national guys, the Achos, the Orlovskis, no one ever asked the question, why? Why is the offense so simple? To me, there's three possible answers to that question. Mm-hmm. Answer one, Kevin Petullo and Nick Sirianni believe that the offense should always be as simple as it is now. That's option one. Mm-hmm. They think you should just run hitch routes. They don't think you should throw over the middle of the field. That's option one. Option two is Kevin Petullo and Nick Sirianni are idiots. They're idiots. They've both been offensive coaches in the NFL for years and years with great quarterbacks. Nick Sirianni was a wide receiver himself. But these are guys that just don't know that those other routes exist and refuse to call them. Or option three, they are limited by the personnel that they have. And all I would ask you to do, again, not a full-throated defense of Petullo, just reality. There was a very simple offense last year. There was a very simple offense the year before. And we go back to the Steichen era. Oh, and the other thing I would add is you have an offensive line that can't get pushed, a quarterback that won't throw over the middle, and we've heard from Jaws several times that Jalen does not like pre-snap motion, likes his guys to be where they are. Mm-hmm. I don't think Jaws is saying that just because Jaws thinks that. My gut would be that Jaws probably knows that that's what he likes. And
That's not uncommon for all quarterbacks.
No. Yeah, that's what he said. Uncommon, he said Peyton Manning likes it that way too. Yeah. But that's one of the things that people are asking for.
Yeah.
We're back to asking for pre-snap motion, and we're
asking for it because we don't see it.
Because we don't
even know what pre-snap motion does.
What it does, right.
Yeah.
Like what moving AJ from one side to the other. So I could imagine looking at the tape, if you are not a Philadelphia person and haven't watched the team year after year and said, wow, this is really simple. Why are they doing this stuff over and over and over again?
Yeah.
And my answer to you would be, ask the next question. Why? And I believe that the why is that is what the quarterback is most comfortable doing. And that's what they're trying to do. And even given all that, there were wide receivers running open on Friday that he didn't throw the ball to. So when you get to the Petullo thing, if you just want a pound of flesh, that's fine. But if they believe in Petullo, I think it's very dangerous to take your pound of flesh out of somebody whose fault it might not be.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that is leaning more towards frustration with schemes, play design, that sort of thing. For me, my biggest issue with the offense and the play calling this year has been the play calling at times. The rhythm of the offense, the complementary play calls that I want to see, a play that leads to another play, giving me a formation that looks one way and then coming back with the same formation but running something different. off of that. I think there's a time, and he's a new play caller. So I can't 100% expect him to be a flawless play caller, in-game play caller, in his first year of being able to do it. But there has been times, not prevalent, but there's been times where I'm more or less like, well, why do we call that play right there? Why do we call that play? So I have less of an issue with the design because I'm under the same belief that this is what the quarterback is comfortable with. Yep. So he has more to do with the play design part of it. Is this what they're running? But the rhythm of the play calls, I think sometimes is choppy and doesn't really have a rhyme and reason to them.
And that's fair. But I would also say that the penalties come at horrible times.
Yep.
And when you,
well, that's the third part of it.
That is the third part.
When we're undisciplined as an offense.
And does that go back to the coaches? Ultimately, it does.
Sure.
Because if they are well disciplined, then they would get credit for it. But it's still a reality. And then the other thing is that they put themselves, because of the penalties and the inability to rush in early downs, in bad situations.
Yep.
They're in third and sevens and third and eights and those, that sort of stuff, where the rhythm, I think, to an extent, and I agree that it's probably an issue, but the rhythm is thrown off by the fact that you can't go bing, 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 and have successful play after successful play when those things are happening.
I'm going to throw this in there as well, because trying to appease a player has also contributed to that.
Yes.
I'm not going to leave that out.
Yeah.
They went through a phase this year where they went four or five games going away from what they did one half to make AJ happy, throwing him the football. So that's part of the offense sort of dynamic as well.
Yeah. I wonder what goes into making that decision. Like, do they say to themselves, we have to decide who's most important to us and we don't want to lose this guy? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right, 215-592-9494. Speaking of the team staying together, there were a couple of comments after the game that didn't sound great from Saquon and AJ. We will listen to those.
Okay.
It is a let it out Monday. Whatever you're pissed off about, we're here for you. We are at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Catch all the Eagles action at the official sports bar of the Philadelphia Eagles, Chickies and Pete's. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and, of course, Fritz.
Hey, let's talk about my friends at Mark's Jewelers. The holidays are almost here, and that means engagement season. That's right. At Mark's Jewelers, they've seen it all. Nervous proposals, happy tears. I'm talking lifelong memories. That's why the team at Mark's Jewelers, they love what they do. At Mark's, every piece of jewelry they sell becomes part of someone's story. Celebrating real people and real love is what makes Mark's. Nope, it's what Mark's is all about. I've almost read that incorrectly. Visit Mark's Jewelers today at their Mount Laurel, New Jersey, or Montgomeryville, PA location, or you can check them out online at marks-jewelers.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickies in South Philly. Jordan Mailata Show coming up at 6. me, Elliot, and Jordan, and then the Players Lounge, Ike Reese, Hugh Douglas, Elliot Shore Parks, this week's guest, Tanner McKee. Last year was my first year doing the player show. I did it with BG every week.
Yeah.
And after week four, it's pretty easy to do a show with BG, you yeah. know, because all they did was win games. We had BG's 1 week where he set the world on fire.
Turned it upside down.
That was also very easy on me. Didn't have to do anything, no matter what BG will tell you. I did not trick him or anything. We couldn't even, we were trying to stop him. My father and I were looking at each other like, someone stop him.
It was a good father-son moment.
Yeah, it was. I'll never forget that look. He starts talking. He goes, you know, they're not really friends anymore. And I looked at my father and I went, and he looked at the same. There was the only time I could get my dad to stop talking was just let BG keep going, right? Mm-hmm. But this year with Jordan, and Jordan's great, and Jordan answers every question, but we've hit a rough patch. And I am now not with him, just with the team.
I know what you're saying.
Now I'm here looking at a full hour of having to ask this guy seven different ways why they suck so bad right now. And it is this year tougher than last year. Now, you know, again, Jordan, thoughtful, gives good answers. But, you know, it's a tougher gig.
Didn't we have, I'm trying to remember, Fritz, for the COVID year, did we have Slay? I think Slay was our Players Lounge.
We had the
guy.
First year of Slay.
In 2020, I think that was 2020 was his first year.
And you could tell things were going south because he started cursing on every single one of the.
I remember that.
Yeah. Well, we weren't winning. I mean, no. You win four games. Dude, it's hard.
He said the S word three times in 8 seconds. And I was like, you know, this might be it.
Was that the year? Did you guys have Miles Sanders 1 year too?
Yeah.
So the midday show at Miles Sanders.
Okay, he didn't say anything all year until the last week.
Yeah, that was with the midday. Yeah. That was with the midday show.
We played that quote almost as much as we played the Jalen pause when asked about Nick last year.
What was? I can't even remember.
Yeah, what was it about?
I forget what he said. But
it was something.
Something about them giving up.
Was it? Was it when they ended up pulling Jalen in that final game of the year?
Oh, is that what it was?
It was when they pulled Jalen and they gave up the game.
Right.
And we said, were the guys confused or something? And he was like, yeah, we didn't know what was going on. And it was like, oh, wow. Yeah, well, I think that was it.
Doug tried to ruin the plans.
Yeah.
Doug did ruin the plans. Yeah. Jalen was supposed to play a half. And Doug has him out there in the fourth quarter. You knew how he was pacing.
Yeah.
And calling the little line.
What is he doing down there?
Get him out.
So you bring up Doug. I think Doug is an interesting person to bring up at this point. Because it wasn't like Doug just got fired. Doug didn't just get fired. Doug wanted his guy.
Yeah.
They told him he couldn't have his guy.
Yeah.
And it was a standoff. And I think Doug would just rather not be here than, you know. So the only thing.
Yeah, and they said, all right.
Yeah. And I.
Well, I'm going to leave then. All right.
All right.
And Nick Sirianni, I think, is probably a good partner to Howie, a good head coach for the organization, has obviously won a Super Bowl, been to two. I do wonder, you know, because part of what allowed Doug to take that stand is Doug won a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And Doug said to himself, I'm not going to be a Super Bowl winning head coach and get told that I can't have the offensive coordinator I want.
Right.
I wonder if this gets to a point where there is that conflict within. I say conflict for lack of a better word.
Saying, yeah. And well, remember, Doug brought in Marty Morningwig, and they had brought in Rich Scangarello.
Yes.
To be the OC.
Yes.
Or what have you. And Doug was like, nah.
Yeah.
He brought in his own guy.
I wonder what Nick does in that situation. If Nick truly believes in his heart of hearts, this is the right guy, it's not him.
Yeah.
And they say to him, this has to happen. What does Nick do?
Yeah.
I think that's an interesting question.
I'll tell you what he does.
He just does it.
Kevin?
Yeah.
Listen, we won a Super Bowl together, brother. It's not my decision. They want to go in a different direction. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do?
Shrug emoji?
Yeah, what do you want me to do?
Like, oops.
Didn't they just give him an extension?
They did.
What is Nick making? 15 a year?
Yeah, it's between 10 and 15, yeah.
Yeah.
Between 10 and 15. It should be at least 15.
Well.
Between 10 and 15.
Yeah.
Is my guess.
I think they looked at him and said,
you sure? You want to ask for a little bit more? I don't know, Jim.
You live in cold place.
But now, a little wrinkle.
Yeah.
Now, Stanford's season ended yesterday, which means Frank Reich.
Frank!
Come on.
I would bring Frank back.
Last five games? Well, fresh eyes before the postseason?
Yeah.
Not as an offensive coordinator.
Oh, just as in the building. Consultant.
Yeah, and then just making the coordinator and next year.
Well, you know what? If I was Nick, I'd say, go ahead. Bring in somebody. Yeah. Have him look at it. We'll explain it to him, and we'll see what he says.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, Frank is his guy.
Yeah.
So he loves Frank Wright.
Yeah. Well, he was offensive coordinator for Frank at Indianapolis.
Yeah, so I think he'd be willing to go along with that. Again, I'm joking with the whole Kevin Petullo thing, because I do believe he's a loyal friend. And,
yes.
And, but it, I don't think Nick is giving up his job for Kevin Petullo.
For Kevin Petullo, yeah. 215-592-9494.
No, if you heard, Spike, it's only 32 of these.
I know. Yeah. I heard.
It's only 32 of them.
Noel in Boston. Sorry we cut you off last time. Noel, you're on WIP.
No worries. I will bow down to Donovan anytime. I think that this leans a little bit more on coaching, and you guys have been hitting on these points all the time. Obviously, the players are not off the hook here at all. Mm-hmm. But I think when you talk about what we've seen throughout the season, but particularly over the last 3 weeks, right, the penalties. Like, I was at the game with my kids on Friday, and as soon as that A.J. got that false start and then Landry Dickerson got a penalty, right, those two drives were dead at that point. I mean, the air had gone out of the building, and we weren't even 5 minutes into the first quarter. And that comes.
I was going to say that was the first. Yeah, that was the first drive.
It was the first drive, and you could just hear the air go out of the building, and it was. You could tell they were going to have to work to get it back, and it was almost like, you know, here we go again. This is going to get bad. And Donovan was, you know, he was saying it too on his segment about that they're just, the preparedness is not there. We hear this tough detail together all the time. Well, the detail right now is horrible on both sides of the ball, right? I've seen a lot of breakdowns from pros on both sides of the ball. Defense is not doing its job. Offensive line, I think, is hurt. And I think that comes back to coaching. Like, why is Calcaterra still in there blocking in the run game when we've seen all season he can block? Right?
Yeah.
That Cam Jurgens is basically playing on one leg. That's why you've got the tush push hasn't gone anywhere in the last 2-3 weeks. And we got two turnovers on the tush push now. We can't even run it anymore. So I don't even know why we're running the tush push when you got a center who's right, the fulcrum of it, can't even get any push off the ball. I mean, the play is dead. But the one thing I saw today, because last night I saw a video and I was like, because when the throw just looked bad, the one to the slant to Smitty, that was behind him. It looked bad in the stadium. It looked bad. And then I saw a video last night with a guy saying, look, he's wide open. It looks bad. And then Dallas Goedert, wide open. But then I saw a video today with Kurt Warner, 17 minutes just on that play. I mean, broken down more than you could ever think a play could be broken down. And
I couldn't even get through the whole. No, listen, I refused to go through the whole video, man. I said, look how long this is. I saw it. Yeah.
So you didn't get to the end. So what he was hammering home at the end was it's the details, right? Two hot routes. You've seen Lane pointing them out. Two guys coming on hot routes, and he's like, "Look," and he had it frozen there for a while with Jason. With Jalen, he's like, "Look where Jalen's angled. He's angled to the out." He's like, "This is how teams teach this play in the NFL, right? Goddard was supposed to run an out and up, but if it's a hot, you just run an out, right?" AJ was supposed to run it out and then come back across. But if it's a hot, you just run the out and you settle down. Jalen is seeing his free guy coming at him, and as a quarterback, his mind is get the ball out quick. And basically what Kurt was saying is, where are the hots? Jalen was positioned to throw out because the way he was saying this is taught across the NFL is if it's hot, Smitty would break that out. Smitty was on an option route, right? The guy on the inside was going to take the safety deep and to the outside. Schmitty had an option, go in or out. But if it's hot, you break out. And that's where Jalen threw. He threw out. Schmitty kind of broke in. And then if you remember Jalen's press conference, exactly what he said. Two guys on two different pages. That's on me to communicate to him what I want in that situation better. That's my fault. And I thought about that clicked. I was like, that's probably what happened. The details. And that's what Kurt was saying. These finite details have to be coached.
Hold on.
By the way, that's a totally different answer than
that
fraud Aaron Rodgers gave
yes.
about Jonnu Smith.
But Aaron will throw anybody under the bus. Yes.
But let me ask you this.
Yeah.
How many times after a miscommunication this year have you seen Jalen and the wide receiver talking about it afterwards? Because my answer is zero.
I agree 100%. There's a lot of that.
Hold on one second. And a lot of that, yeah. I promise I'll let you finish. A lot of that is, a lot of that knowing what the guy's going to do is a consistent stream of communication and a rhythm. You know, that's why, was it Marino did the fake spike and then be able to, is because sometimes when you have a great relationship with those receivers, again, this is not about being friends or going to dinner or any of those things. It is about a productive working relationship. Is all it takes sometimes is a look. Yeah. And these guys clearly don't have that. This year. So I think part of it, we can say coaching, and it is on coaching, but it's also on them, you know?
No, I agree 100%. I do think that there's something clearly broken in that locker room, obviously, between Jalen and AJ. And somebody's leaking. You know, maybe there are issues with Jalen and others on the team. Maybe he's more distance or what have you. But the detail part, I mean, look, this offense has regressed. And that's coaching. I mean, to your point earlier, Ike, Jalen is what Jalen is. And we've been to two Super Bowls where he could have been MVP of both of them, right? Arguably.
Yep.
So it's not like the team can't have success. Oh, and also, Spike, I watched another video, 25 of Jalen's top throws, 11 of them were over the middle.
That's great. That's 11. He's been in the NFL. Hold on. He's been in the NFL for 5 years. Why every year do they throw over the middle less than any other team in the NFL?
I don't know.
You don't know? Hold on. Why do you think?
Because Jalen doesn't like you. He likes to throw to the outside.
All right. Let's just be honest with ourselves. Yeah. Let's just be honest with ourselves.
But I don't think it's time to get rid of the guy because two Super Bowls in 4 years, right? I mean, there are probably, 25 other teams in the league that would beg to even have a sniff at that opportunity. So I don't think it's time to throw him out yet, but I,
Hell,
I 25. Do think there's problems in that building.
Might be 30.
Yeah, I mean, out of the 32 teams.
Might be 32 teams in the league.
Yeah, you might be right. There might be like 28 to 30 that would love to be in that position. But there is definitely something broken, and I don't think we win this division. To be honest with you, because it's week 13.
Man,
it's week 13.
Just when we thought the bit was over, the 20 years since there's been repeat division.
Yeah, I was thinking about that yesterday.
So was I.
Thank you for the call. Thank you for the call, Noel. Well, I was thinking about it, I was like, dude,
they're gonna do it. They're gonna blow the division, and we're never ever gonna be out of this stupid circle. But we do live in a simulation.
Do you know what happens tomorrow? They talk about the worst time thing in history. Well, from content, maybe the best time thing is Hard Knocks is tomorrow.
Oh yeah, I can't wait. I need to see what the hell's going on behind the scenes.
I would love if they capture something.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
Yeah, listen, we're going to have the eagle eye on this thing.
Oh yeah, man!
You want it on Wednesday? If you want the Hard Knocks post game show, you turn to the WIP afternoon show. Yeah.
Will there be a single conversation between AJ and Jalen?
Yeah. They'll grab
they,
one.
They did.
Herb, we're on the radio.
There was a little bit of a celebration with both of them.
I saw that.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. A lot of people saying things are fine.
No, I didn't say that. I'm just saying I saw a little celebration.
A lot of, but I was told.
Nah.
Just like Ben, it's Ben and Joel, dude. Yeah. It is Ben and Joel.
Oh, yeah, I can't go that far. Maybe they didn't even realize. Well, AJ probably didn't realize that was Jalen.
Dude.
He had already started to give him high five.
He couldn't stop.
Yeah, he couldn't stop.
Dude, what if AJ said, psych?
Pulled it away.
Yeah.
215-592-9. Oh, actually, before we do that, speaking of AJ, here after the game was AJ being asked about what was wrong with the offense.
I think lack of execution. Today I had another penalty. Like stuff like that can't happen.
Are guys getting skewed open enough? So then why isn't passing all things? execution.
There you go.
Not an execution.
And then they asked him something about should KP be the signal caller, whatever it was, right. Play caller, and he shot it down right away.
Yeah. So that's a crazy question.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in on KP.
Yeah, well, now.
Well, I mean,
certainly. Yeah.
Well, they meet every week. I mean, yes. They're hanging out together.
Yeah, in the office. And here was Saquon talking about the team's focus. Remember, this is the week after he said that the other team wanted it more than they did.
Yeah, group focus. I think it's a group focus. It starts with that. We got to come together and we got to have focus. You know, it could, when you're not focused, it could hurt you. I had a drop today. A drop is literally a lack of focus. It's nothing to do with talent, nothing to do with that I can't catch a ball. I'm, you know, trying to peek and see what's over there, and I dropped the ball. We have multiple spots like that, and sometimes it comes up and creeps, it comes up and gets us, and we just got to be better in that. And we keep talking about it. We keep saying it. We're addressing it, and it's just not clicking right now. And that's just the truth, and I hate to say it, and we just got to figure it out, and got to figure it out pretty soon, to be honest.
Focus and execution. I saw. Did you see the really long Nick Foles video on the?
No.
So, I love Nick.
Yeah.
Because Nick just wants to live in a world where everybody gets along.
Yeah. That's Nick, man.
He's a good guy. Get coffee for people.
And Nick's solution was, and he was passionate about it, and it was well reasoned. He's like, these guys just got to get in a room and say, this is your job. This is your job. This is your. This is my job. And figure it out. I just want to say to him, Nick, come on.
You've seen this.
Yeah.
You've seen this before.
Get in a room.
In the room.
They're in a room a lot together, I would imagine. You know?
Yeah. It's funny because, like with the offense, you got the skill guys, the skill position groups, the receivers, the tight end, your running backs. But then the offensive line has its own set of issues.
Yes.
Like the offensive line, like they.
Jordan fell down again.
Yeah, they have their own set of issues that they feel like they need to figure out.
Yeah.
When it comes to the skill and throwing the quarterback as well with the skill position guys, a lot of it is execution.
Yes.
I mean, even if you look on the play we talked about, the Kurt Warner broke down. You may try to say it was this guy or this should have happened. The bottom line is it didn't happen, and it was execution. The guy was standing there wide open.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if he should have sat down. Jalen should see that he's still on the move and hadn't sat down. I don't know. I don't know. Bottom line is it didn't get done.
Yeah. Well, this is – take you back to the beginning of the show. A lot of this I can, in general – attribute to Super Bowl hangover. They don't have the same focus.
Mm-hmm.
It is the leak stuff and the blaming stuff on top of it that makes you not believe that they're going to do everything that they possibly can to make the best of an imperfect situation.
And that's why I asked the question, do they believe they still can do it? Like, I just wonder if that's in their thought process.
Yeah, that maybe we can't this year.
Yeah.
You know, one that I mentioned talking to Jordan every week, there was a point at which, I forget if it was Elliot or me, who asked him, you know, you say we make a joke out of the one block away, and he laughs about it now. Mm-hmm. I think a pained laugh, but a laugh nonetheless.
Sure.
And talking about the penalties and the execution, those sorts of things. And I forget who asked it, but it was just like, is there a point during the year where you say to yourself, I don't know, this might just be who we are.
Yeah.
And he said no, and that is the right attitude to have. And that's what he says outwardly. But I do wonder in the back of their brain when they go home at night and they think about it, just like, I don't know if this is going to come together this year. And the first when you lose that, when you lose the belief that you can pull it together.
Yep.
I always used to say when college, I could never think about cutting a class because the minute I thought about it, I couldn't go to the class.
Right.
It was cut. It was done.
Yeah.
It was done. And it's sort of like the minute you start doubting that you can get it together is the minute that it's over. Like that you're not going to be able to do it because that takes so much will, especially when you're not playing well.
And I hate to say it. I hate going back to it because I don't want to belabor this, but that was put out into the ethos. When the message is winning isn't enough. I want to dominate. I want to be a part of it. So the winning isn't the only thing that satisfies you. and winning the championship, another one, isn't at the top of your list.
Mm-hmm.
It's dominating. I'm just saying it. We're being honest with ourselves. That's put into the ethos, right? And that's, and then that becomes a focal point when it's coming from a voice that has an impact in the locker room. It just is. And that's where everybody is at. And they won the Super Bowl last year. Their motivation to not crumble last year when things weren't going well was what happened in 23. It had just happened the year before. So they were motivated last year to not allow that to happen. And you had Saquon here motivated to prove the Giants and all other naysayers wrong. You reached the mountaintop and won. Are you still hungry? Are you still hungry? I'm telling you, and it takes a special person like a Bill Belichick to set a culture where none of you are special. What you did last year doesn't matter. I'm still grinding on you. Andy did it a different way, but Andy had the ability to maintain a culture where they could go back to the Super Bowl and repeat, and then almost three-peat, and play in the AFC Championship game every year.
And get to the Super Bowl in that third year where they clearly didn't have it.
Exactly.
You want to compare two teams.
Yep.
Compare last year's Chiefs team, who we thought this year's Eagles team might be.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Just win them by the skin of their teeth. But that takes supreme concentration, commitment. To have that small of a margin of victory every week and know that you're not executing the way that you are used to,
yeah,
and still go out there and push, that's hard.
Yeah.
You know,
because human nature tells you, I'm good. I don't want two Super Bowls already.
Yeah,
I'm good. We don't need to do this. But they were able to do it. And I just wonder, I wonder if it's too late for us to come together like that and go on a run. Right. It's not too late technically, meaning there's enough time. But I just wonder, from a mental standpoint, have they let the championship sort of dream pass already? Because it should have been, we're trying to repeat as champion. Let's go get another one.
Yeah. You talk about it not being too late.
Yeah.
The one seed's not. If they played well, the one seed's there.
The one seed is still available, yeah.
The Bears are going to lose two more games, I have no doubt in my mind.
And the Rams have to battle Seattle.
Yes, and the Rams are only, they're one game ahead of us, but we have the tiebreaker.
Yep.
So it's there. I know it sounds crazy. The one seed is there. From a record standpoint, from the NFC standpoint, it's all there. There's no chance they're getting the one seed. It's right there.
Yeah.
All right. 215-592-9494. Mm. Oh, Jack, top 5 of 5 coming up next.
Oh, yeah.
Who are you going to blame? Oh, he's been dying for the blames here.
Who's
going to get blamed?
Who are we holding accountable?
Yes. Well, that's what we do on this show.
Yeah.
See how many defensive guys on this list.
Yeah,
I hope there's a couple.
Hold on. I got 3.
All right. 215-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Man. Listen, Spike.
Man.
Yep.
Tell me about National Fly Tour.
That's how you start a read.
Man.
That's how you get the intrigue up.
Yep.
Man, listen. All right. So, Spike, last week.
Yeah.
We told you.
Black Friday Mega Sale.
But guess what? Did you hear the good news?
Are they continuing?
It's extended.
What? After Black Friday?
Yeah. They're extenders down at National Appliance Warehouse.
Is it Black Monday, Black Tuesday, Black Wednesday?
Oh, man.
All right.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
They're extending it at National Appliance Warehouse. So, listen, we know the holidays. It can get busy. You just couldn't make it down to National Appliance Warehouse. Well, guess what? The good news is here. The Black Friday Mega Sale has been extended, so you can still get up to 40% off on over 100 brands at National Appliance Warehouse. So when you go, you're going to get a great price.
I can't believe they're still doing it.
It's pretty unbelievable,
How
right?
do they even stay in business,
yeah,
Jeff?
There's people helping people.
Okay.
That's what they do at National Appliance Warehouse. So you are going to get a great price. Now you're going to get a great appliance. Over 100 brands, 15,000 square foot showroom, Whirlpool, LG, Sub-Zero, Wolf, Cove, the whole nine yards, all of it at National Appliance Warehouse. But on top of those two big deals, they also have an unbeatable customer experience. You walk in there, they treat you like family, and they take care of you and make sure you're walking home or getting in your car with the right appliance. So The Black Friday mega sale still going on at National Appliance Warehouse. So get down there today. You can learn more at nationalappliancewarehouse.com or hurry to the showroom in tax-free Wilmington or Middletown, Delaware today. And as always, tell them Fritz sent you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.